So I don't know about you, but I went to bed Friday night, woke up Saturday morning to a very different world than I went to bed with on Friday night. And in light of that news that we woke up with on Saturday morning, I seriously considered changing my sermon altogether. You know, when the world feels like it's shifting beneath our feet, and it's changing all the time, it seems natural to pivot and address what's dominating the headlines. But as I prayed about it, I was reminded that the kingdom of God is bigger than any one conflict, bigger than any one region, bigger than any one moment. Nations rise and fall, wars begin and end, but the reign of Christ, it endures forever. And how we follow Jesus is of eternal importance. I also had to confront a bit of hubris in my heart. You know, there's a kind of pride that comes with thinking that I could say something this morning that would quiet your fear or settle your anxiety over what is happening in the Middle East. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I don't have that kind of control. But what I will say is that war is always tragic. Whenever God's children kill one another, Jesus grieves. But at the same time, history reminds us that there have been moments when force was used to restrain evil and to free the oppressed. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not wise enough to know if this current war meets that moment. Time and history will weigh that. But here's what I do know. Our countrymen have taken oaths to serve and to protect us. And they're carrying out that responsibility right now, entrusted to them. And I will pray for them without ceasing. I will pray for all who are in harm's way. We will also pray for civilians that are caught in the middle who didn't choose this fight. We will pray for grieving families. We will pray for leaders on every side, that wisdom would prevail over vengeance, that restraint would come over rage, and that peace would come to our world swiftly. As we pray for our broken world, we will also remember the unshakable truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Caesar, not presidents, not prime ministers, not militant groups. Christ is King. So this morning, we turn our hearts to Him, not to ignore what is happening, but to remember where our ultimate hope lies. The kingdom of God is not fragile, and despite my tears, neither are His people. Let us pray for peace, let us pray for justice, and let us follow Jesus faithfully in these anxious times. So we're continuing our Lenten series called He Set His Face to Jerusalem. It all pivots around verse 9:51, the turning point in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus begins His journey to Jerusalem, where He begins His journey to the cross. Jesus chose the cross. It wasn't happenstance. It was a deliberate choice. Jesus knew what awaited Him in Jerusalem, and now He is on the road. From verse 9:51, the next 10 chapters are about what happens along the way to Jerusalem. I think it's important that we note that when He set His face to go to Jerusalem, He didn't withdraw. while he was committed to his course. He was always present in the moment. During his journey, he was always there. He did not abandon his compassion for others because he was going to Jerusalem. On the road to Jerusalem, Jesus' compassion and mercy is ever present in his ministry. In his ministry, he feeds the hungry. He heals the sick. He teaches and exemplifies the way of the kingdom. And we, as followers of Jesus, we try to be like Jesus. We try to follow his example. The ministries of the church should look like Jesus' ministry. You know, every church in the world has the same mission: to make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I have taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the truth is that every church is unique. Every church has got its own little niche of gifts and graces of the people that make up that body of Christ. They have a little niche in their community. And our mission, over and above making disciples, is enriching the lives of children and families by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. Jesus fed the hungry. Did you know that your church feeds the hungry? This church was one of the founders of the Humble Area Assistance Ministries. Did you know that they feed 100 families every single day? And that's because of you. And it's because other churches have gathered together and support them. And they help people who are down and out with rent assistance or deposits for new apartments. They offer a hand up to people that need help. Did you know that our Saturday's Child Ministry takes food to 34 children every single weekend? Somebody from this church goes and delivers food to those 34 children. And then we give them Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving dinners. Did you know that we are helping our sister church in Cuba provide food and water to their people while the people of Cuba are suffering? Did you know that we help feed orphans in Africa through our association with Zoe Ministries? We feed people because Jesus did. And we teach people about Jesus and his kingdom because Jesus did. Monday through Friday, our church gets to tell over 300 children every single day how much Jesus loves them. We love on them. We teach them love for themselves and love for one another and love for the world. We have Sunday school classes that meet for all ages, children all the way up to seniors. We have a women's Bible study. We have a men's Bible study that meets on Mondays. We have a big group that meets on Sunday evenings, and they bring all of their children up here. We have a vacation Bible school that teaches almost 400 children about God's great love for them. We teach them about God's kingdom and the nature of God because that's what Jesus did. Jesus healed because he loved. He healed because he could. Let me be quick to say that we don't heal like Jesus. He is still healing today in miraculous ways, in ways that we don't understand and ways that we don't see. Some are miraculous. But some of the healing that Jesus does are through the hands and hearts of his followers. You see, we are a part of Jesus' healing ministry. We participate in that with him. We have a grief share program that helps people deal with their grief of having lost loved ones. It's been here for decades. We have touched hundreds and hundreds of lives. Did you know that we have a group of prayer warriors that pray for all kinds of things, all kinds of people in our congregation, outside of our congregation? It's an email list that goes out. Pray for these people. Pray in this way for these people. If you'd like to be a part of that prayer warrior group, you can reach out to me or Leanne or Bobby, and we will put you on that list. We help families without homes to re-enter a life of hope and promise with our Family Promise program that we serve with other churches around our community. We do all of these things because our ministry should look like Jesus' ministry. And Jesus healed because he was full of mercy and grace. Jesus healed because he could. Our text today is about one of those miraculous healings. It comes from Luke 17. Verses 11 through 19. Hear these words. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." You know, it's interesting to note here in this text that Jesus doesn't touch them. Jesus doesn't really even say anything like, "Be healed." He just looks at him and says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, these 10 lepers, they are unclean. They are the outcast of society. They were probably, the 10 of them lived in a group together because they couldn't be around anybody else. They had to stay away from everyone. And the text is clear to tell us that they were respectful of Jesus as they kept their distance. And Jesus tells them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And they turn and they go. They obey. They trust in Jesus as they turn to go see their priest. Well, they still had bodies full of sores. And it was on the journey in which they were going to show themselves to the priest that they found themselves healed. It was on their way to be reincorporated into the Jewish life that they were healed. And the one saw that he was healed and immediately turned around and came back to Jesus to give thanks. You see, 9 were simply healed. 1, he got to experience Jesus and his salvation. In the text, It says, your faith has made you well. Some other translations say, your faith has made you whole. The Greek really implies your faith has saved you. That's what Jesus is saying to this one who has come back to say thank you. Your faith has saved you. All 10 of these lepers were cleansed. Only one was transformed. Only one was transformed by the love of Christ. The truth is, we are all on a journey. We all know how our story ends. Nobody gets out of this world alive. We are all on a journey. And we must be like Jesus along the way. We need to show mercy. We need to feed the hungry. We need to participate in Jesus' healing of the sick. We need to teach and live the message of mercy and grace that Jesus lived out for us on his way to Jerusalem. The question for you this week isn't, have you received mercy? The question is, have you come to say thank you? Because the road to Jerusalem, it's not just about suffering. It's about mercy poured out and gratitude that falls down in thanks. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured out your mercy upon us. Write on us grateful hearts that we recognize the magnitude of the gift that has been given to us. Almighty God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And as we come to your table this day, we are reminded of the price that was paid that mercy could come to us. For that, we give you our thanks and our praise. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, it's appropriate that we talk about gratitude on a communion Sunday. Because as we gather here around these elements, around the Lord's table, we are reminded of the price that was paid. This cup, we say it represents Christ's blood, which was poured out for us. This bread, we say, represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, that died for us. And as we gather around this table, we remember the mercy that Jesus has poured out for us. So a note about communion today. In the Methodist Church, the table is open. You don't need to be a member of this church or any church. We believe that receiving communion is a means of grace. It's a way to experience God's grace and love. We'll serve you by intinction. You'll be given a piece of bread. Take it and dip it in the cup. If you need a gluten-free option, we'll have a tray here that will have a gluten-free option and a little cup. Remember with me, as Jesus gathered with his disciples on that last night, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup, he again blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us truly the body and blood of Jesus, as we are the body of Jesus redeemed by his blood. Make us one with the Spirit and one with the church universal. Father, make us grateful for the price that was paid, that mercy is ours. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.